Rod and Tia. Daniel Becker is a familiar figure at these events. He is the director of the Center for Health Promotion in Rio de Janeiro, and he's going to talk about building health equity into community life. So please welcome Daniel Becker.
So I'm afraid I'm occupying something I learned with my friend Avi, the graveyard slot. But I hope, I don't know, I'm so happy to be here because I'm sharing with you so much intelligence, and I'm learning a lot in these 2 days, 3 days in fact. I'm not sure my presentation will teach you something, but I want to try and propose you a high risk proposition so I can at least be sure that I'm leaving a legacy here. So please stand up for 1 second. Please stand up. You have very little space, but put your right head a little bit ahead, right feet a little bit ahead of you, and put your weight back on the left, and then put your right foot behind you, and do the same again. Okay? That's it? Yeah? Now do it a little bit quicker.
Okay, you just learned samba. That's it. So.
Now, you should be counting this time from now, please. So I'm here to share with you some perspective from the ground, from grassroots, from local reality. And I'm very happy that this presentation was named Community Life, Building Equity into Community Life. So Michael Marmot showed us in the first day, evidence is here. It's very clear for us, all of us. Scientific evidence is clearly showing that inequities are bad for everyone and that reducing inequities is good for the poor, but it's good ultimately for everyone. And we need evidence to show this to convince policymakers, but there's other ways of being convinced of that. For example, images. I live in this beautiful city, the Olympic City, but Rio has another face, has a face of very bad inequities or very bad injustice. So this picture, if we see this girl as our daughter, we feel that we cannot accept that because this girl is 8 years old. This picture was taken at 8 o'clock in a favela on a Tuesday, which she should be in school, and she's picking up garbage on a favela, which is one of the poorest of Rio. So she's picking garbage of the garbage of the garbage, and she's trying to live out of that. This is the statement of the National Commission for Social Determinants of Health. Inequity is our main disease, not only Brazil, but several other countries. And also, we can draw idea of how inequities are bad for everyone, not only from evidence and from pictures, also from art. This picture, this cartoon is very eloquent in helping us to understand how even if we build our castles, if there is a huge gap in society, this undermines the lives of everyone. This picture also shows how inequity, not poverty, inequity can undermine our life and destroy our best assets. So as Michael told us on the first day, showed us the difference between Glasgow man and just maybe a few blocks and one from another can have a span of 20, 30 years of difference. This is very easy to understand when you look at Rio, you look at the people, the rich people jogging Ipanema Beach, which is certainly one of the most beautiful spots in the world. But if you try to jog in a favela, this is the reality that you face. It's not very easy to have physical exercise or to have access to healthy food on this kind of setting. Altered maps also help us to understand inequities. This is a map showing the territorial size as if it was determined by AIDS prevalence. And when you look at the mirror of this, which is health spending, public health spending, you understand very, very well what is the cause of inequities as well. Rio de Janeiro has 2 million people. Sorry, this is cut. 2 million people living in favelas. 25% of the city lives under $2 a day. And they have huge problems of unemployment, housing, etc. But maybe the most important problem that has grown recently is violence. So people who live in communities that are headquarters of drug mafias, and not only they suffer from the empire, illegal empire and illegal mandate from drug mafias, but also from the police who comes in shooting in all directions. So the situation of poverty has increased the difficulties of living in poverty in urban Brazil has increased a lot in the last few years, last 30 years. So you see the result is indicators very clearly showing that life in Rio and in Brazilian cities is dominated by those huge inequities, and those inequities are unfair, are unacceptable, and are avoidable. So for us is to get into action to reduce those inequities. So violence is a Latin American tragedy. 2,000 young men, all of them black, living in favelas, uneducated, young, are dying every year in Rio. Every year, 2,000, in one city. Another genocide is the traffic genocide. 50,000 people die in Brazil from car accidents. Of course, most of them are poor as well. 700,000 people die in the developing world in this strategy, and most of them are living in poor conditions. The environmental situation, the climate change threat, also is dominated by inequities. This is a map showing who are the gas emitters, and it's almost ironic, very mean, that the very people who are causing only 3% of world's footprint are the ones who are suffering from this footprint. This is really ironic. I mean, the only way of dealing with that for me is with a little British humor, in which we say that the rich will find the world a little bit more uncomfortable, unpleasant, and unpredictable, and the poor will die. So how do we improve health for all? How do we deal with all those problems? Just by increasing the health system? This is what the health field thought before, but how good is to treat people and to send them back to the conditions that in which they live? So the health sector has been abandoning this position, which is the traditional positions, and from the fields of health promotion and health equity and social determinants of health, we're beginning to admit and understand that this is what builds healthy communities. Social factors, social conditions, governance, good governance, and equity mostly. The good distribution of all these good factors that promote health, and that health is socially determined. So how do we build healthy communities? If we have a society that has equal opportunities, that have participation, democracy, representation, and if this community is established in an environment that is respected, that is vital, that is well designed in its built environment, we have a habitable community. If the economy in this community is diversified, is prosperous, is adaptable, and it respects the environment, keeping it a better world for the next generation, this is a sustainable community. The economy will be well distributed in a society that has these characteristics, so this is an equitable community. And the intersection and the integration of these three dimensions is what build healthy communities. And we can see these also as capitals. You can look at social capital, natural capital, economic capital, and in the center, human capital, which is what we all want to build. And the conclusions of investigations that were briefed and offered to the world by the report of the commission is that community participation and good urban governance, I had the honor of participating in a knowledge network for urban settings of the commission with Jacob and Michael, and one of the conclusions is that community participation and good governance are crucial elements to build healthy communities. This is one of the statements of the report. It's saying that new models of governance are necessary to build health equity, and that the equitable inclusions of city dwellers, of all city dwellers, are crucial for this process. This is the framework of a new development, an unfolding of the commission, which is called the Global Research Network on Urban Health Equity, and also putting as major elements urban governance and urban social conditions, which include participation. So I wanted to finish by bringing you two action cases, one in community participation and empowerment and one in participatory urban governance, just to show you how we can act on these elements, how we can build health equity. So participation is being more and more recognized as something crucial, but real participation, not the cosmetic participation, which is what we see in many, many cases, which an organization brings something ready and invites people to participate in something that they believe is good, not built with the community. And effective participation is when the community participates all the way from planning, from the first questions, all the way into implementation and evaluation. So the people who have the problems, who are living the problems, must be part of the solutions. This is pretty logic. And poor communities, they may lack in resources or services, but they have a lot of wealth in networks, in activities, in happiness, as my friend Hans used to put, joy, celebration. And to solve problems, we have to build on those best assets, which are the people who live in these communities. So the first example is the what we call the Network of Healthy Communities in Rio, which is a work on capacity building and networking of community groups, community grassroots groups, that increase their capacity, their autonomy, and their political strength. So we started mobilizing few communities back in 1996 around the idea of HIV prevention. HIV was migrating into poor communities at that time. And it was very easy to help for us to understand and for people living in the communities to understand that HIV was not a matter of condoms, but was a matter of social development. So we very easily broadened the approach of prevention into social determinants and health promotion in general, evolving into a larger network that became a network of healthy communities in 2000. Nowadays, we have 150 community-based organizations representing a population of 1.5 million people, and most of them, of course, are women, African, Brazilian, and so on. And what we do with them, what they do with us, is it's always an horizontal, very participatory approach. We never bring something ready. We discuss with them, we help them analyze and understand their realities, their problems, prioritize those problems, analyze their resources, the available resources that they do have, talents, and the capacity of them engaging in partnerships, and solving problems by in projects that they develop themselves in all these different thematic areas, you know, building lots of small micro changes and helping them to understand, and this is what we call empowerment, helping them to understand that they are citizens, they are subjects, and there's no greater need than that, I think, for people to understand that they are someone, they are social actors. And if they are social actors, they understand themselves as citizens, and as citizens, they understand that they have rights, and as people who have rights, they engage in collective action, they engage in association. And please understand that these people live in very, very harsh realities in which they are victims, both. They feel as victims, they're treated as victims. So for them, for us, the most important thing is to show them that they are players, they are social actors. So the empowerment of leaders, which is reflected in building more capable people, more skillful, partnership ready, ready to speak and negotiate and participate in the management of public policies, and into collective action. We network those 150 organizations into several collective actions, resulting in those organizations developing knowledge, solutions, gaining power and better access to services, and participating in several different opportunities of management, collective management, participatory management of public policies. In both examples, I want to bring how the private sector is acting, and Danone, again, is a great company, is helping to mobilize this community for the adoption of healthy behaviors, healthy nutrition, and physical activity. And they're supporting the community groups through our NGO to design their programs based on their perception, their needs. So it's nothing, again, nothing is brought ready. And benefiting 17,000 people with actions in healthy nutrition, exercise, always using Brazilian culture. You see here football, capoeira. And of course, Danone has some benefits also from this. So the lessons we learned, first is that we need participation to promote health equity, real participation And the participation is a human right. And those people can become from victims of diseases into people who are the main actors of development in their communities. And that sometimes diseases can be entry points for community mobilization and development. So just to finish governance. Governance is defined by the Global Network of Research I mentioned as a sum of the many ways individual institutions plan and manage a city. We're not talking about government, of course. And the central purpose of governance is human development. And of course, to promote human development, you have to look and to serve the needs of the most deprived groups in the city. The four elements of governance as we define, the most important may be community participation and integration and engagement in government. An approach that is a whole of government approach. So when you're facing a territory, to put together all the departments of, for example, a municipality working together in an integrated way. Intersectoral, bringing together academia, media, private sector, civil society, and government, and the up and down integration. Bad city governance, I need just 2 minutes. Bad city governance would express itself like this, especially by privatizing an agenda that should be public, by just serving the interests of small groups in finance or in politics, and especially with corruption. And this leads to situations like that. I'm going to mention the example of São Paulo, which is a Brazilian global city, in which you have differences as great as those between the richer and the poorer areas, and in which people spend up to 3 or 4 hours in traffic. The city is becoming a hell hole, in which you see this situation in which this is the water reservoir of São Paulo 30 years ago, and this is how it looks today because of bad governance. This is a slum pouring its sewage into the water reservoir. So good city governance can increase life expectancy, can decrease mortality, child mortality, just by focusing on the elements that we mentioned. And it can transform places like this. It's also from São Paulo, a good example from São Paulo in a slum upgrade program, into a place like this. Right? This is exactly the same spot. So the last example is in governance, the Brazilian Network of Just and Sustainable Cities, which is a network of city initiatives that are spreading very fastly across Brazil. The main one is in São Paulo, and all of them are started by business associations and media groups. It started, in fact, in Bogota. This was the first one. It took off in Brazil very recently, and it's spreading all over the country. What they do is they monitor objective indicators and city and perceptions of citizens about life service, about quality of life and city services, and they demand from the government goal-oriented governance, evidence-based public policies directed to real needs and reducing inequities, and they have also always inclusive approaches. In São Paulo, they have 2 years of existence. They already done a lot of things. They have achieved great things, and I think this kind of movement has the potential of really transforming cities, big, very big cities like São Paulo. Just to finish the proposed roles for the private sector, we can't forget that in health, health is a human right. So the role of government is to provide health. It's an ethical imperative. The private sector cannot replace government in this. What they can do instead is engage in partnership with communities to help communities to demand government to do their homework, to provide good health services and preventive services. And government is the place where they can do only what is permitted by law, while civil society and the private sector can do anything which is not prohibited. So this is the place for innovation, for creation. And the private sector should be using its best assets, political and access to high levels of authorities to influence governance, to give voice to the most excluded, and to help government to strengthen the liberal services. There are a few foundations doing this in Brazil. So using their capacity to build the capacity of government to deliver better public policies. And especially act with responsibility. We don't want business that act very beautifully in their corporate social responsibilities programs, but are corrupting the government and having privatizing public agendas themselves. So just to finish with a quote from Trevor Hancock, which is one of the Canadians I admire the most, saying that real capitalists don't build just one form of capital, they help build all four forms, social, economic, natural, and human. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Daniel. You reminded me of that the Olympics were going to Brazil. And I'm sure you remember the day that Brazil was awarded the Games, that John Stewart that night started out with how Oprah and Barack had failed. Was it in Copenhagen where the decision was? And then he showed this scene of celebration in Rio that was just the sort of the typical colorful celebration. There was hugging and drinking and kissing and eating and dancing the samba better than we just were. They cut back to John Stewart, and he said, and then they were told they got the Olympics.